There is a tremendous law that we can tap on. Wasn't Moses on the mount twice? For 40 days and 40 nights, he did not eat or drink, which was physically impossible. The other one who did it was Elijah, because he ate special food. We realize, now listen very carefully, here is a key to a blessing. Behind these are certain blessings. If we could right now on this earth begin to tap into the laws of the Spirit so deeply, by the will of God, not just by our zeal, but in our normal walk with God and growing God, and overcome some of the quote-unquote human frailties and weaknesses that are common to everyone, we will be able to touch and contact that realm that God allows special grace and favor where you don't see there. We know Enoch is mentioned here too. And there are people like that. That's a possibility that in our generation we may be able to raise up a generation that will spend so much time with God that by virtue of the laws of the Spirit, they contact a realm of God so deep that natural laws are temporarily suspended, that they could enter into a certain depth of God. Now here we are talking about the last days, alright? You remember we talking about how in the last days the wicked will become more wicked and the righteous will become more righteous and holy. Now what are some of those things? We see here that behind the story of Moses here in verse 9 is not only a story about Michael rebuking Satan, but behind that story is the story of the man Moses whom God raised up physically before his time. God could have used Elijah or Enoch, but he knows that many of us cannot reach the closeness like Enoch, Elijah. They take real special grace to reach that point. But Moses is a greater possibility for many people. Because Moses was subject to a lot of the laws and a lot of the weaknesses that we are. Although Elijah too, in a certain sense, the Bible says in James 5 that he was a man of like passion to us. And hidden in the first section of Jude are some of the things that the church will begin to tap upon. You see, what I believe is the rapture is an instantaneous transformation that takes place in the church. Shoom! But one thing I also know, it takes faith and the presence of God. When Jesus Christ ascended into glory on high, it is said that the clouds surrounded him. The clouds that surrounded him is not H2O. Water vapor. You can just go to Genting Highlands and you see the water vapor around you, but you're not floating yet. It's not the mist around you. It's the glory of God around you. And it was the glory of God that carried him up. And the church, I could imagine it. You see, usually there is always an extreme middle balance and then the other slow one. There's always a fast, and a medium, and a slow. When the whole body of Christ is moving to perfection, you always have to have some leaders right at the front who have to spend perhaps 10 times as much time with God as the average Christian. I mean, it takes that. The average Christian spends 15 minutes. We've got a little bit, no? Devotion time. Or take up the devotional book. In our church, we don't recommend devotional books because it's a lazy man's method. You do that only for lunch tidbits. That's only lunch tidbits. No? That is just potato chips. That's not real lunch. It's alright, right? I'm not against those things. It's nice reading. But it takes too fast to read, especially when people like me who read fast. Oh, finish the reading. My devotion for the day. Now, what's on for July 6th? Okay. That's for baby Christians. We recommend for church people go straight to God's Word and read. So we never recommend any devotional reading. We get them straight to read the Word. And the average Christian is here, right? Let's say they spend 15 minutes a little bit. Then the stronger Christians, which are looked upon by the average Christians as fanatics. They spend 1 hour a day and they take 1 hour to be minimum. So 1 hour praying in tongues. And I don't embarrass anybody, but I would dare say that if I say how many here really pray 1 hour in tongues a day, right, we may not find the whole group here. Now, if that's the way the church is going, how can we be perfected? And what about others who are not hungry for the word as you folks here? Who wants to come on a Monday night just to study the Bible? What about the rest of Christianity? So we realize that there will be a whole group that has to be dragged along by the flow. Everybody is reading the Bible. Yeah, everybody is reading. I better get a Bible too. Right. And everybody is praying in tongues. Hey, I better pray too. Right. We drag them along. So there's a strong group. There is a nominal group. And to drag the whole group along, you got to have a few strong horses. Just like the geese when they fly. You know, they always fly in a V shape. Because the first goose that flies, duck or goose, that flies, the first one that is right in the center of the V takes the greatest air pressure. And once it breaks the air current, the air current is broken in this V form, the other ducks go to that easy path and they find it easier to fly. So he has to fly many times faster. And the other ducks on the other V go easier. And the ducks behind them even easier. Right? But the poor chap in front, it's not as easy. And the ducks or the geese change place once in a while, because it's a lot of energy. So the main ones would change place with him. He goes back to rest. But that's something of what we realize, that it takes a lot of faith, it takes a lot of word, it takes a lot of prayer to perfect the church. We all should be praying for the perfection of the entire church in the body of Christ. We need the ducks right in the front, because there are too many of them who are just... Some of us are... we are starting already. We are starting to fly. But at first, all you have is that fellow. And while he's trying to create an air current, all the ducks will say, "That crazy duck." Well, the rest of the ducks don't know that winter is coming. It's time to fly on. And the ducks creating the air current, all of us, that crazy duck. But after a while, a few ducks join in and say, "And then you're the one who's crazy, you're left behind. Winter is coming. Darkness is coming. And so we got to join the dark there." And as the church grows to perfection, there are some ducks. They are right in the front line.
to get the others in.
Now what happens before the church comes? This is what I believe. Those in the front line will walk so close with God that they may suddenly disappear first. Because they walk so close. Remember, it takes faith to be raptured up, in a sense. Now please don't get worried. Some say, hey, I'm not sure I got enough faith to rapture. So tomorrow some of you are going to join a weight losing class. You're wondering whether your extra 40 pounds is going to pull you down to hell or what. No. Thank God the rapture is not based on weight. We better thank God. Right? Otherwise the teen people has an advantage. The rapture needs faith. Everything God does needs faith. How do you think Enoch got translated? In the book of Hebrews 11, it is by faith. The faith of the entire church will carry the weakest, so there's no worry. It is what I call a cosmic event. And when it's a cosmic event, everyone who is born again will be taken. None will be left behind. Everyone is, even the youngest and the weakest. But it's based on a corporate faith that is there. And we will see those in the front line beginning to go off into God. And in the research book on Smith Wigglesworth that we had from the town library in New Zealand, the one of the it's out of print today, but I had a photocopy, and it speaks about Smith Wigglesworth while he was in New Zealand and when he was praying for souls. And he walked so close to God, and when he begins praying for souls, he enters into a presence that nobody can stand. And this is the record in that book. He said that this author, the one who wrote that about the revival in Wellington, when Wigglesworth was there, said that he had heard that Wigglesworth prayed, especially in the area of souls. Nobody could be in the same room with him. So when he heard that there was going to be another such prayer meeting, he purposely wanted to join. And he joined that prayer meeting. And so he said, everyone pray. And then when Wigglesworth started praying for souls, when he get into the heart of God, and this is the exact description. Maybe I can bring it down next week and read that portion to you. But it says that when he began to pray and cry and weep his heart out, suddenly the room was filled with the presence of God. And the more he prayed, he says, and this is the record of the book, people started leaving the room according to their spiritual level. Those who are lowest, who cannot stand the presence of God, started weeping, crying, started going out, cannot stand that presence. People started leaving according to their spiritual level. Finally, when almost all of them have left, and the author says, I was hanging on. He says, tears were flowing out of my eyes like water, he says. And I was holding on. And as he was praying, the presence got thicker and thicker. And he says, he was almost choked by that presence. And in the end, when he could stand it no longer, he quickly ran out. He felt that if he didn't run out, he would die in God's presence. And he ran out. And almost all broken down. And he says, the man of God was left alone with God. He lived in a presence which nobody else could live. Wow. I like to be like that. Those are samples. You see, one Wigglesworth work can stir so many ministers. And we realize that there are others like Sadhu Sundar Singh in Asia too. And they could stir us. Those are the ducks that fly very fast. That stir us, and the whole church begins to be stirred to prepare towards the thing. God is not just going to perfect the church just like that. He's going to call men and women, anoint them to stir the church. And they're going to be the front runners to stir up the church of God. And so behind this first part of Jude are some of those promises that we see here. And we see in verse 9,